Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
I know that in one of the Temple Recommend interview questions, it asks, do you agree with elements that are against the church? And I guess, I mean, could it be interpreted that if people supported gay marriage, that would be agreeing with something that was against the church?
Well, it's not do you agree with a person's position or organization's position. It's are you supporting organizations that promote opposition or positions in opposition to the church?
So would supporting gay marriage threaten somebody's membership in the church if they went out, say, on Facebook or Twitter and actively advocated for it?
Yeah, that's not an organized, you know, effort to attack our effort or attack our functioning as a church, if you will.
So members can hold those beliefs even though they're different from what you teach at the pulpit?
Yes. And we, our approach in all of this, as Joseph Smith said, is persuasion. You can't, you can't use the priesthood and the authority of the church to dictate. You can't compel, you can't coerce. It has to be gentleness, persuasion, love unfeigned, as the words are in the scripture.
That's Mormon Elder D. Todd Christofferson speaking to a KUTV reporter in Salt Lake City. The story, of course, and it's difficult to tell exactly what he is and isn't saying. Hope we can sort it out here in the next few minutes. The story, the headline reading, Mormons free to back gay marriage, Apostle says. So are they free to back gay marriage or simply to hold opinions? There seems to be a little nuance there that needs to be teased out. Joining us to help us do that on this Tuesday afternoon, Bill McKeever. He's a regular guest founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the books Mormonism 101 and Answering Mormons' Questions. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
And I'm sure you're getting a lot of this living where you do, is the press overblowing the significance of the apostle's statement here on, it sounds like, private opinions among Mormons on same-sex marriage?
Well, I think if you're trying to get to the bottom of the question on if the media thinks that somehow this is moving the Mormon church more into a progressive area in which someday they may allow this from the pulpit, that may be an overreach. But I've got to be with you, though, Todd. I am confused on this because it seems like what we have with this permission is the green light for members to openly advocate what the LDS Church has always officially stated is a sinful behavior. And that's I'm kind of curious as to how that's going to play out, because even though they talk about it not being an organized effort, when you get enough individuals saying the same thing, whether it's organized or not, in other words, if they're not in collusion with each other, still that is going to have ramifications in how people think within the Mormon church. And if they feel like they're okay in saying things that are the opposite of what the church position is, how can that be anything but confusing? I mean, let's just change the topic from same-sex marriage to, let's say, adultery. If someone was to get on Facebook and start advocating adultery, would the church not feel a responsibility to step in and say, hey, wait a minute, you've crossed the line? Is not advocating same-sex marriage, either individually or organizationally, somehow promoting or at least condoning the homosexual behavior, which obviously must take place in a same-sex relationship that is marriage? It's mind-boggling to me. I don't know how this is going to play out.
Well, you know, everybody, especially people like people in positions of authority, like obviously the apostle here, Christofferson, is the Mormon apostle. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their unguarded moments. My first impression was, here's a guy who got asked a question that he wasn't fully prepared for, tried to ride the fence and rode that fence just a little too far. And maybe now people with a little more thought put into the answer trying to figure out how to back him off the fence. So
I think you're right. The way he answers the question does sound like he wasn't quite prepared for it. It wasn't usually what we would consider the teleprompter moment here. and he's trying to speak off the cuff. And in this delicate situation, you want to make sure, I think, that you have your ducks in a row, because you're going to send out the wrong message. People are going to run with it, and then they're going to point back to your statement saying, well, wait a minute, you said this publicly. Now you're not saying that anymore, especially when you claim to be an apostle of Jesus. I mean, wasn't Jesus speaking to you at this moment or what? Because these guys do claim that they've got a direct line to the Almighty, and you would think that they would get their facts straight before they come out with a public statement.
So isn't that really the problem here? Had this been any other Christian church leader who could say, they could say, yeah, I was caught off guard and I kind of couldn't really think of how to sort it out myself and it came out wrong. But when a person claims divine authority, as you said, that direct line, allegedly direct line to Jesus Christ, that argument becomes more difficult to make.
Yeah, you would think so, because it's not like the LDS Church has not had time to really mull this over and come up with an official position of some sort. And I just think that they really blew it putting out this statement like that, because they're not going to handle it, it seems like, on a case-by-case basis. I talked with my pastor this morning. I said, well, let's turn this around. What if this is talking about our community, our church? How would we handle a situation where you had a church member who was openly and advocating what we would consider to be a sinful behavior? How would we handle it? And my pastor was spot on, I thought. He said, well, we handle it with grace and by a case-by-case basis. If it's a new believer who's trying to figure out where they are on this issue, we certainly would handle it one way. If it was someone else, let's say a leader in the church or even a teacher in the church, we would have to handle it another way. By putting out this blanket statement now, it seems like this can be abused in all sorts of ways. And I just don't think it was wise on their part to make a comment like that.
Bill McKeever is our guest. He'll be with us for another few minutes on the other side of the break on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 24th. We're talking about some recent statements made to the press by a Mormon apostle, Elder D. Todd Christofferson, on same-sex marriage. After our conversation with Bill concludes, Carol Tobias of National Right to Life will join us. We'll go over some recent developments in fetal homicide laws. Stay tuned.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
we talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues, etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're talking about recent gay marriage statements made by a Mormon apostle. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry is our guest. And my confusion remains, Bill, because I keep coming back to, I'm not really exactly sure what Christofferson actually said is being permitted here. What's your best sorting out of that? What is he saying individual Mormons are allowed to do?
Well, it sounds like on their personal Facebook pages or something that they might say on Twitter, that they can basically say, well, I'm in favor of same-sex marriage. But then when he comes in and he says that as long as it's not an organized effort to attack our effort. So my question is, what if this same person who posts on their Facebook page, I support same-sex marriage, was to go on another Facebook page and let's say like something that organization that is working to promote same-sex marriage, would that then be an offense that could get them in trouble with the church? See, I don't even know what the basic rules are from this article, because this article is very similar. The Salt Lake Tribune article is very similar than that I've seen on other sites as well, and there's a lot of information, I think, that needs to be included in this to give a more rounded understanding of what the church expects from its members. And this is the problem when you only put out a little bit of information and you're expecting the membership to fill in the blanks. Hey, that's what you guys are for. You're supposed to be doing that. And so I think what they're going to probably end up doing, or at least they should end up doing if they haven't done it so far, if it's not in the workings, is to spell out for members what exactly Christofferson was talking about. Otherwise, you're going to have people violating what he thinks is the standard and then pointing to his comments saying, look, I did what you said I could do, and now I'm getting in trouble for it. When he goes on, if I can, when he says our approach in all this is persuasion, you can't use the priesthood and the authority of the church to dictate, I'm sure there's a lot of ex-Mormons that probably read that and fell off their chair.
Why so?
Well, because the Mormon Church is known for dictating policy and enforcing policy. I mean, did they have that kind of approach when it came to those of African heritage prior to 1978? Did they not correct and I don't know how far the punishment would have been if they were, let's say before 1978, you were telling the church that they should allow blacks to hold the priesthood? You think that wasn't going to get noticed by the leadership of the church? We happen to know that they did come down pretty heavy on people who were advocating something like that. So I guess time will tell as to how, like I said, this is going to play out. But I don't think there's enough information in this article and the one that seems to be circulating now that really is going to tell members what their limitations are as far as promoting or being in favor of same-sex marriage.
A simple question of kind of the authority structure of the LDS Church. How does one become an apostle? And when one becomes one, does that essentially say you now can speak kind of unilaterally for the entire LDS Church?
Well, they do have rules in this, in that how exactly a person is chosen to fill a vacancy in the Council of the Twelve. From what I understand, I could be wrong on all the minutiae on this, but basically they kind of decide who's going to come and fill that spot. When it comes to the prophet of the church, that is much more understood, that it's the senior member of the Council of the Twelve that will fill in as the prophet. Now, when they become an apostle, they also get the title of prophet as well. They look at all these men as being apostles and prophets. It does not give them really the license to speak unilaterally. They are supposed to speak in unity. But you would think that if they are an apostle, that by the very nature of that position in the church, a member should take heed to the things that they are saying. It's not common, let's say, if an apostle speaks out of line, for the rest of the guys to jump on him and rebuke him publicly. That just doesn't happen. But you would think by the position that Christofferson has, there's going to be a lot of members that are looking to him as being an authority on this subject, who was just given the green light that if I'm in favor of same-sex marriage, that I could say something about that on my Facebook page.
That kind of also raises, I guess, a couple other questions, and that is the Mormon Church has been very public, especially in California, in the last... well, probably now going on two decades. They have been working across the aisles with everybody they can to try and prevent the legalization of same-sex marriage out there in California. I'm sure in other states as well. It's not as though the Council of the Twelve haven't heard of this subject before, haven't thought this stuff over
right.
before. Does that add to the confusion here?
Well, you could be very, very right on that. I mean, they do even have a website called MormonsandGays.org, and there's an expression on that page that's really confusing, where it talks about even though homosexual members would not be allowed to be married during this mortality, they will have the opportunity to be married in the next life. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, if your proclivity is not to be married to a woman, how is that going to work? Because they're not implying there's going to be same-sex marriage in the hereafter. A Mormon hereafter is all about procreation. They call it eternal increase. That is one of the benefits of exaltation or becoming a god in a Mormon context. So what they're really implying in that paragraph is that, well, if you weren't married in this life, you're going to be fixed in the next life to having a regular husband and wife relationship so that you will be able to procreate. But the problem with that statement is if you don't get married for time and eternity in this life when you have the opportunity, if you refuse to get married for time and eternity in this life, you don't qualify for exaltation in the first place. At best, you would probably get to the terrestrial kingdom where marriage isn't even an issue anymore. So I think the church is, by virtue of their latter-day revelation or their modern-day revelation, is trying very hard to be politically correct, and it's only going to come back and bite them.
That's my final question here, and it was kind of my gut reaction to this, and that is, the LDS Church, for all of its idiosyncrasies, is thoroughly American and is deeply concerned about the winds of culture. They have modified their teachings in major ways, for good and for ill, in order to accommodate cultural mores and norms and things like that. Do you envision a day where that cultural pressure on the LDS Church turns them from kind of this, you know, staunch bastion of traditional morals to something else?
Wow, that's a great question. It's hard to say, at least on this issue, because I get asked about this issue and the women issue. Will women hold the priesthood someday? It's hard to say. We've seen the reorganized church or the Community of Christ change regarding the women's issue, and we're seeing a lot of evangelical churches changing on the same-sex issue as well. I don't agree with that course correction, and I don't think the Mormon Church could do it consistently based on the fact that they do consider the Bible to be one of their standard works, plus they have the statements of past leaders invoking the name of God to support the position that they now hold on this issue. But who knows? It's hard to say.
Bill McKeever is regular guest founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the books Mormonism 101 and Answering Mormons' Questions. You'll find a link to Mormonism Research Ministry under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bill, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, is going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about what are called fetal homicide laws. There's a case that is bringing this to the fore again. We'll find out what it is and what it's all about. Stay tuned.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.